Okay, this is February 10th, and the topic this month is enjoy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Such is the nature of life, that all it asks and all it wants is an opportunity to appear. You are that opportunity, and so am I. It is the purpose of this teaching to make us aware of this essential truth of our being. I hope that that also is sinking into you. We haven't used that one for the longest time. I've been telling you that you're gods and goddesses. You must remember that. But this idea that life, this thing that we call life, this thing that we call God, always wants an opportunity to appear, to come through you. It comes through each and every one of us with our thinking. And we are the ones who have to change our thinking and bring it into alignment with the divine. When you don't see love all around you, you are not looking with eyes of love. You are looking with your ego. And you are seeing what the ego wants you to see. We're trapped in that maze of the ego all the time. And it's a very clever thing, the ego. And it's very convincing. And it tells you what you are looking at is what is real. You must look past what you see and find the divine, or find the love in everything and everywhere. When you have a problem, if you focus on the problem, you are not seeing God at all. You are not seeing the divine. You are seeing the problem. Emmett Fox, who we know and love, maintains that if you golden key everything, when he uses the word golden key, he means if you think of God instead of your problems will go away. Because what we think about, we bring about. And what we think about all the time, we multiply. So whatever is in your life today is in your life because of your thinking. And we know that we can change that thinking. Tonight's title, and for the month, is Enjoy. The idea to enjoy every moment of this life. Last night I had a profound evening. I watched the 50th year of the Beatles. There was a celebration. They've been around 50 years. It took me right back 50 years. And I could not believe that that much time had passed. Time passes very quickly, people. We're here for such a little bit of time. I don't care if you live. I read a little thing about Alice Walker, if anyone knows who Alice Walker is. She wrote The Color Purple, and she also won the Pulitzer Prize. She had a relative that lived to be 125. But even at 125, when you think of infinity, very minute, very small. So the whole idea in life is to enjoy. And you must learn to enjoy every moment of your life. And you do that with your thinking. Yes, things can be mean, things can be hateful. All this stuff around you can be going on. But you have to remain enjoy all the time. You have to do that for yourself. Life is neutral, people. People say, oh, life is this and life is nothing. You're making life. Life is completely neutral. It will take on any coloration that you give it. So why not give it the coloration of joy? I'm going to do a little reading tonight. Does anyone know this man, the prophet? Mm-hmm. I love him. And this is about joy. A woman said, speak to us of joy and sorrow. And he answered, your joy is your sorrow en masse. And the self-same well from which your laughter rises was oftentimes filled with your tears. And how else can it be? The deeper the sorrow carves into your being, the more joy you can contain. Is not the cup that holds your wine the very cup that was burned in the potter's oven, and is not the lute that soothes your spirit the very wood that was hollowed with knives? When you are joyous, look deep into your heart, and ye shall find it is only that which has given you sorrow that is giving you joy. When you are sorrowful, look again in your heart, and ye shall see that in truth you are weeping for that which has been your delight. Everything comes from the same thing. We say, God is my source and my supply. God is your source and your supply with everything, and especially with this thing that we call joy or enjoyment of life. You have to do that for yourself. So many people are always waiting for something else to happen, and then they'll be filled with joy, or they'll start to enjoy their lives. Many people cannot enjoy their lives, they feel, because they do not have the money to be able to do that. I'm here to tell you that money has nothing to do with anything. Stop concentrating on money. I have told you many times that money is a side effect of your consciousness. If you start to enjoy your life, money will start to come to you. But you focus on the wrong thing. You focus on money. It's wonderful to have money. I love to have money. And if anybody would like to give it to me, I certainly will take it. But it's not the end all be all. You are here, or we are here on this plane of action to realize how joyful we can be. And what a joy it is to be alive. How many people get up every morning and say to themselves, I just love this life. I am filled with joy. I'm filled with happiness. You have to do that. Remember, I told you I get up in the morning and I say, this is the day that the law of my mind is making. I shall rejoice and be happy in it. Your mind is doing it. Over the years, I've done many talks. And over the years, I've had many titles. But anything that I'm telling you always boils down to mind. And it boils down to your mind. People would like to think it boils down to God. God is a constant. God is always there, people. You never have to impress God. You never have to do anything. People want to change God's mind. You have to change your own mind. You have to find the joy in life. You have to start to enjoy your own life, your own individual life, not somebody else's life, and not what the world tells you, that you must succeed, you must have money, you must have gold, you must do this, you must do that. No. You must sit and enjoy. Sit and enjoy. Enjoy. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the life that is all around you. You see, I started with what? Such is the nature of life, that all it wants and all it asks is an opportunity to appear. Such is the nature of God, that all it asks is an opportunity to appear in you and through you. That's what this thing that we call God is all about. It's life itself. And it's a joy-filled life. So when you start to enjoy yourself, you draw things to you. Everything in life is done with your mind. We have, and you all know this, if you have been in metaphysics very long, we have what we call the law of attraction. We are always attracting things into our lives. Whether we want those things or don't want those things, we magnetize them into our life. And if you are filled with joy and you are enjoying yourself, you're going to draw to you, magnetize to you all the goodness. I have many people who call and they want this, that, and the other thing from me, and I say to them, do you realize that the only thing that's going on here is you're always moving from your good to your greater good? You're always moving from glory to greater glory. You have to know that. You're always moving forward. You're always moving towards this thing that we call God. We're moving towards that. And when we move towards God, God moves towards us. You see? Years ago, when you went to the brand name churches and all, they told you that God was somewhere else outside of you, that God was in this place called heaven. This place called heaven. And I'm here to tell you that there's no such place somewhere else. Heaven is right here, right now, on earth. And you must learn to see that. You must learn to enjoy heaven right here and right now. Give up this idea of waiting. The world wants you to wait, to add one more thing, and then something will happen to you. You don't have to add anything to yourself. You're already whole and complete and perfect. And these are the things that you must know about yourself. That you're whole, you're complete, and you are perfect. You're radiant beings. Each and every one of us is a radiant being. And we have to know that about ourselves. And when you fill yourself with joy, when you start to enjoy everything, now when I say enjoy everything, I mean the traffic. I mean everything around you, you have to look at it and start to enjoy it. You see? You don't come around and blame it on the traffic. You don't get all upset and carry on and so forth and lose all your composure and your peace of mind and your joy because of the traffic. You look at that traffic and you say, isn't that wonderful? Look at all the abundance in the world. I am filled with joy that people can afford a car. And you will notice that the traffic will start to move. But when you sit there and say to yourself, oh, I'm stuck here, you're going to be stuck there. I hate this traffic. You're going to get more of the traffic. On Saturday, I attended a friend of mine, Dan, is a shaman, and he's been doing for the last couple of months, he's been doing drumming circles, calling in the rain. And since he's done it, we've had two small rains. And on Saturday when we were doing it, if you noticed, it got very cloudy. Now, it didn't happen to rain, but it got very cloudy. I told my friend this, and she said, oh, I don't believe such a thing. One of the things in life that you have to start to do, people, is believe. You know, you can believe anything that you want to believe. Anything you want to believe, your mind will believe it. So if you believe you can call in the rain, you can call in the rain the same way you can change the clouds, you can change the weather. Now, here again, our friend, Emmett Fox, was absolutely convinced that we cause the weather. And we're causing it more and more and more. Who ever heard of all this? I talked to my cousin today, and she said, well, you know, it's the winter vortex. I never heard of a winter vortex in my life. They make up all this crap. You know? You don't. I should have hung up on her. We have the power to do that. Do you remember when you were a child and you laid down on the ground, you looked up at the clouds? Couldn't you make those clouds dissipate? Couldn't you make them move and do what you wanted them to do? Because you had belief. You had the magic. You had all that stuff going for you. The world takes that away from us. It's always taking that stuff away from us. A friend of mine who said she couldn't quite believe that, I said, well, let me tell you a story. There was a minister who was praying for rain, and he had his whole congregation meet in a field. he looked around at his congregation, and they were ready, you know, to experience rain. Only one person, a little child, brought an umbrella. Mm-hmm. A little child believed. Mm-hmm. A little child believed. It's done with belief. It's done with belief. So believe in these things, and you can do these things. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself. You are God in action. You are God in action. God is not outside of you anywhere. God is inside of you, and you are part of everything that's going on. And when you know you're part of everything that's going on, then you have to be part. In the shaman arena there, they speak of the different spirits. The rain spirit. They were bringing in the rain spirit. We have to know that we can have those things around us and that we can do these things. So fill yourself with joy. Fill yourself with amazement and so forth. My friend, who's very nice, I happen to like her, very intelligent. She prides herself on her intellect and how intelligent she is. Therefore, she cannot be like a little child. So she cannot believe that you can drum and call in rain to yourself. You have to do that. What do we do in this day and age? When I was a child, I never remember us having droughts. If we did, it always rain always came. We didn't worry about it and fret about it. We knew that rain was going to come. I grew up in farm country in Pennsylvania, and you could watch the rain come across the fields, and it was just absolutely wonderful. You could smell the rain. You could do all that. And we would capture rain. I don't know if anyone remembers they captured rain, and they called it the rain barrel. And people washed their clothes in it, and especially women washed their hair with rainwater because it was soft and all this stuff. Everything. We are losing contact with these different elements, these different spirits. The generations that are coming, you know, are more interested in these technical devices, their iPhones and computers and all that. Do you know there are so many children out there that don't realize that milk comes from a cow? They think it comes from the grocery store. They think it comes from a grocery store. Where do they think? They think, oh, well, if I want water, I just turn on a faucet. Water is always there. Water is always there. You have to bless everything. You have to bless that water and so forth. I don't take a shower without saying thank you. And I don't do anything without being in gratitude. And that was the whole thing that my friend the shaman said. Walk around in gratitude for rain. You have to walk around in gratitude. Most people walk around, and it rains, and we're having a drought event, instead of walking around in gratitude for rain and saying, ah, isn't this planet absolutely marvelous that it rains on this planet, that we have water on this planet. I think it was Ansel Adams that said, if there is such a thing as a miracle on this planet, it's water. It's water. We cannot live without water. The ancients thought that water was God, and of course, they were right. You see, everything is God. But they actually thought, you know, water, because it did so many wonderful things for them. Now, what will water do? It seeks always at the lowest level. It will seep through anything. It will wear down anything. The same way that God does. A drop of water dropping and dropping and dropping can completely flatten them out. Can completely flatten. So water has power. Water has wonderful power. Does anyone know Iwamoto? He wrote a book on water with the water crystals and how it responds to your moods. Water absolutely responds to your moods and so forth. And he freezes these crystals, and if you're angry and so forth, the crystals, water crystals, completely different. If you're happy and filled with joy and enjoying your life, the water crystal is beautiful. So you have to realize that. So say to yourself always when you're drinking water, what a wonderful miracle this is, and this water is healing me. It's healing me. These are the ways that you bring a new consciousness into this world. This is the way you learn to enjoy your life. Enjoy water. Enjoy everything that you do. You have to do that. People just take everything for granted, and they put no emphasis on it whatsoever. Well, water just runs out of that pipe, and it'll continue to run out of that pipe, and I don't have to bless it. I don't have to say anything about it. No, I don't think so. I don't think so. And if we're not having rain right now, it's because a lot of people are not giving that spirit, the water spirit, the opportunity to do what the water spirit does. They're pushing it away. We must draw it in. That's why it's called calling in the rain. You must call the rain in. So when you see clouds and so forth, say, oh, I'm going to build that cloud. I'm going to make that cloud bigger and bigger, and it's going to be filled with moisture. And that moisture is going to turn into rain, and it's going to fall down, and it's going to nourish this wonderful earth that I live on. This is how you do things. This is how you do things. May sound what? Antiquated. It may sound like you're a heathen. It doesn't matter. It works, people. It works. You see, what we don't realize is we live in a responsive universe. It responds to us and responds to our thinking. We are making the world. We are making everything about this world. It is not doing anything on its own. We are doing it. Do you know that in California, when we have an earthquake, very few people get knocked off. They don't get killed and so forth on an earthquake. And they usually happen out of time when there are very few cars early in the morning and so forth. There are very few cars on the freeway. So bridges fall and so forth. No one gets hurt from that. We do that with our thinking. That's the belief system that we have. We do that. So it's done with your belief system. So what are you believing about water? What are you believing about life? You see? At the drumming circle, I gave my 2 cents, of course. I said, I just never use the word drought. I never say I'm in a drought or something. Why do you want to say that? If you keep saying you're in a drought, you're going to be in a drought. Don't do that to yourself. What does that remind you of? If you say you don't have any money, you don't have any money. If you say I don't have a prosperity consciousness, you don't have a prosperity consciousness. You have to build that. You have to build that. And you can build all those things with this childlike joy. With this childlike joy. You see, we think we're so grown up, and therefore we cannot have the joy and happiness that we see little kids having. The little boy was the only one who brought the umbrella. The only one who brought the umbrella. You must do that. Does anyone know who Great Britain, is? Well, he was a nuclear aero something physicist. And he lives in the desert. He speaks around, he's wrote many, many, many books. Isaiah Effect, does anyone, that's one of his books. Anyway, he ran into a man who was able to do the bring water and bring rain, an Indian. And he said, how do you do it? And the Indian said, I will show you how it's done. He said, you just close your eyes, you put your feet down on the ground, and you start to see the mud and stuff all around you, and you start to squish around in that mud. And when you start to squish around in the mud, it will start to rain. It's done with your belief. It's done with your belief. You can do all these things. You can do all these things. Now, does anyone remember what Jesus said? You can do this and greater things. You can do this and greater things. So, if these people can bring in rain, if they can do this, that, and then you can do it also. So know that about yourself and do that for yourself. But fill yourself and fill your life with joy, with happiness, and learn to enjoy every moment of your life. Because when I was watching the Beatles, how quickly 50 years went by. I remember when they hit America 50 years ago. 50 years ago. What happened to those 50 years? In some of those 50 years, I want to tell you, I was not enjoying it. I was not enjoying it. Now I'm enjoying my life. I've reached a point in my life where I enjoy almost everything that comes along. Everything that comes along, I enjoy. This is a wonderful experience that we're having. It's a wonderful life that we're having. But we could get so off track and so convinced that we need the latest fashions, that we need cable television, that we need this, that we need that, and of course that we need money. So we work for money instead of working to enjoy. So that this spirit in us and this soul in us can be filled with joy and happiness. This is what we have to do for ourselves, people. We all have a soul, we all have a spirit in us. If it's not shining through, it's because you're not allowing it to shine through. You're not enjoying it. You're not saying, I'm enjoying this. Or if you can call in the rain, you can call in your spirit. You can call in your spirit, you see. The Indians used to call back their spirits when they were in different things. They could go into a journey and call their spirit back to them. So many people have let their spirit go someplace else. You must call your spirit back to you. Call it back. I know that it can be done, darn it. And it can be done. You can do these things. I know. Sometimes it sounds like I'm just sitting up here babbling away and telling you all kinds of impossible things. I will tell you. Oh, I think the young man back there said it last week. Years ago, I made up my mind that if I couldn't walk the walk, I could not do the talk. And I see so many people out there talking, but they cannot do the walk. I'm trying to do the walk. And I'm certainly trying to be honest and above board about it. And even though I like to get airy-fairy sometimes, I don't want to get that airy-fairy where I scare people away. Ernest Holmes said, you must keep an open mind, but that not that open that your brains fall out. You say, you must keep an open mind about these things. So my friend Gloria, who poo-poos the drumming circle, she doesn't have an open mind. A brilliant mind, but not an open mind. But not an open mind. You see? She wants to be scientific. She's a mathematician. And that works for her. It doesn't work for me. I like the magic in life. I like the excitement in life. And this is what you can have also. You can learn to enjoy. You can learn to enjoy. And if you haven't enjoyed your life up to now, make up your mind that you're going to enjoy it. That you're going to enjoy your life. You have to do that. You have to do that. It's done with your mind. It's done with your mind. So, regardless of how far off field sometimes we can get, and especially in metaphysics, many people want to get off here and off there and everything. It always has to come back to mind, people. It always has to come back to mind. You can play around out there. You can do all those things. But what you have to realize is it's your mind that's creating everything. It's your mind that's creating everything. So if you look around and your life isn't the way it's supposed to, you have to say, I must be thinking differently. I must be having stinking thinking going on. And you don't want that. You want to sit yourself down and say, I am the cause under my own experience. I am causing this. So right here and right now, what do I want to cause? I want to cause joy. I want to cause happiness. I want to enjoy my life regardless of what's going on the outside of life. On the outside of life. You see, there's a place inside of you, call it your spirit, call it your soul, call it your sanctuary. It doesn't matter what you call these things. But that particular spot in you has never been touched by anything on the outside of life. It still remains absolutely pure. So go to that purity within you. When you go to that purity, you will find what? Joy. You will find joy there. And this is what we want to find in life. The rest of it is not horrible. You don't need the rest of that stuff. It's all right. You can do that. But it's not going to get you what you want. I've told you for years. Most people say they want this, they want that, and they had blah, 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 whatever. But I'll tell you, everyone is looking for the same thing. And what people are looking for is peace of mind. They want their damn mind to start, to stop torturing them all the time. They want that mind to stop. You can stop your mind, people. You can stop that ego part of your mind so that you can see life clearly. So that you can see beyond the appearance. You have to see it beyond the appearance. When you are seeing anything that is difficult, anything that is a problem, you are seeing it with your ego mind. When you say to yourself, I am not going to see with my ego mind, I am going to see with my divine mind, the situation will change. The situation will change. Also, I've told you for years that you never see with your eyes. You see with your mind. It's the mind that's doing it. The eyes are wonderful. Like all our senses, sight is a wonderful thing. But sight lies to you. all your senses, by the way, lie to you. You see, they help you through this plane of action. We need that. We need to feel. We need to see. We need all these senses, the five senses. But there are more than five senses. You cannot rely on your five senses if you want to advance in any way, shape, or form. Your eyes will tell you that a railroad track comes together if you look at death. The rails come together. What else did it tell you for years and years? What did people think? That a ship sailed off and fell off. Ships. And people believed that because they believed their senses. They believed their senses. So go to that spirit within you. Go to that soul within you. Go to that place within you that's filled with joy, that's filled with happiness. And start to enjoy, and you will see life differently. You will no longer be using the senses. And I love the senses, by the way. I'm very sensual. Oh, I'm very sensual. But I know there's more. There's more than that. You see, I had another teacher. I think I mentioned to you once before, her name was Joyce Reynolds. Joyce Reynolds maintains that she's the motivator of one or a thousand. She worked with Earl Nightingale. Does anyone remember Earl Nightingale? Well, he's not around anymore, but the Earl Nightingale Institute is around. And you can look at all the stuff up, by the way. Anyway, Joyce said, you must learn to see the heavenly sights. And you must learn to smell the heavenly smells. And we don't do that. We stop. We stop. Learn to see the heavenly sights. They are there, people. They are all around us. How many people take a walk in the moonlight? Take a walk when it's full moon and let that light come down. Wonderful, wonderful sensation. A wonderful sensation. No one can duplicate that. No one can duplicate all the things that are around us. You know, that boils down to that old saying, only God can make a tree. Do you know one human that knows how to make a tree? We know how to grow them, perhaps, but we don't know how to make them. We don't know how to make them. Make your life what you want it to be. Fill it with this thing called joy so that you can enjoy every moment of life. Every moment of life. I have a Britter. A Britter? Filter. Water filter in my refrigerator. I have a 3x5 card pasted to that, which says love. I fill that water with love. You can do that. I got that from Iyamoto, by the way. We have to look at things differently, people. We have to see the wonder of the world. We have to see the wonder within inside of our own selves. And stop being convinced of what the world tells you out there. The world tells you. What does the world tell you? I just love that when I see these signs that this water that they're putting in bottles and so forth has no calories. All water has no calories, people. You know, that's no big thing. That's what water is. But they think they've invented something. They've taken the calories out of water. You don't take the calories out of water. But what I'm telling you is you can put love into the water. You can put your intention into the water. You can, every time you drink water, you can say to yourself, this water is healing me. This water is healing me. Every cell of your body is filled with water. I think scientifically they say that we're 97% water. And I think it's Deepak Chopra who says we're nothing but a big sack of water. We're nothing but a big sack of water. We think we're solid and all this kind of stuff. We're just a sack of water. That's all we are. Water has power. Use that power. If you want to, when you're drinking your water, say this water is filling me with joy. This water is filling me with joy. See? These are the little things that you can do to improve your life. These are the things that you can do so that you really do enjoy this life experience. So many people go through life never enjoying it. Never enjoying it. Now, I have to talk to you about my friend Doug the Baptist. Doug the Baptist enjoys life, but he's waiting to go to heaven because he suffered so here on this plane of action that he knows perfectly well God's going to give him a higher station in heaven because of suffering. Please, people, give that twaddle up. Whoever tells those Baptists, they always tell them, you know, if you suffer, the more you suffer, the closer you are to God. Now, do you want to be close to a God that wants you to suffer all the time? I mean, I do not want that. But so many people believe that. But of course, my friend, Doug the Baptist, absolutely believes that. I'll never forget, we were in Madrid, walking along the streets, and he was babbling on about God and all this stuff. And I said to him, Doug, what would you think if I told you I wasn't a Christian? Well, he stopped dead and got pale. And he said, oh my gosh, Dallas, that means we would never be able to spend eternity together. They have him completely brainwashed. Completely brainwashed. Now, I am on Doug the Baptist. I love Doug, by the way. I'll tell you a cutest story. We used to travel to Europe all the time. And I was absolutely thrilled we were at the Vatican. And I was going to get to see the Sistine Chapel. Oh, I thought, oh, finally. So we're standing in line to get into the Sistine Chapel. There's a sign there, please, no cameras, do not take flash, do not do this, do not do that. Doug entered the Sistine Chapel, laid right down on the floor and snapped the photo. Guards came, picked him up and me, and threw us out. I said, thank you very much. I've been waiting for years to see the Sistine Chapel. And I didn't get to see it. I didn't get to see it. I did get to see other things. Thank goodness I had another friend. I may have told you that. Built a Catholic church. Mrs. Queen, she was an Indian. And when we went to Rome, Doug wasn't with us, thank God. She was able to get us, get me and the three other people that were with us, an audience with the Pope at that time. And also we were able to go through, they weren't open at the time, I think they're open now, we were able to go through the Pope's gardens. So those are wonderful things that I remember. But back to the idea, please. Don't be like my friend Doug the Baptist, and you'd love him. He'll come one day and you'll see him and you'll just love the man. But he's absolutely convinced that God is in heaven and he's going there and he's going to have a bigger station because he's suffering. But he's suffering. And this was taught to him as a child. And he will not give that idea up. You see? Now, I'm talking about giving up ideas. You know, I have another friend. Her name is Ruth. And she's absolutely convinced, of course, that her mother had cancer and her father had cancer, and this is going on, and she'll probably get cancer. And I said, I don't think so. She said, absolutely, it's in my genes. And I said, Ruth, are you aware that there's a whole new science out there called epigenetics, which tells you that you can change your genes, and they can do that, and they can figure it out? She said, I never heard of it, and I'm not going to believe in it. I said, that's all right. You're what I call a flat world person. She's going to live in a flat world. We have to know that we can do the different things. You can call in the rain. You can put a card on your water filter and know that it's doing something, that it's affecting that water. And you have to know that you're the one that's responsible for filling your life with joy and happiness so that you can enjoy every moment of life. Every moment, regardless of what's swirling around you. Doesn't matter what's out there. Matters what's in here. And it matters what's in here. What are you thinking? What are you thinking? Learn to change your mind about things. Learn to give up all the nonsense that you brought into your thinking. Just get rid of it. Say to yourself, I'm not going to think that way anymore. I'm not going to live in a flat world. I'm going to live in a new world. And I'm going to fill myself with joy, with happiness, with health. So many people don't think that they can fill themselves with health. They think their body is fighting against them. Your body never fights against you, people. It never does that. It will never do that. The body has no causation of its own. Only the mind has causation. Fill that mind with joy, with love, with all the wonderful things that are out there so that you can absolutely enjoy every moment of this wonderful experience, because it goes so, so quickly. So, so quickly. It doesn't matter if you live 100 years, 125. I have an aunt now, it's 96. I've had many aunts that live up in their 90s and so forth. My Aunt Catherine, who I often talk about, you know, her two things that she taught me was, I asked her once, I said, Aunt Catherine, how do you always maintain such a wonderful, happy, joy-filled life? And she said, well, it's quite easy, Dallas. I control my thinking. I control my thinking. Never went to church. Never went to church. But she, and of course she never went to a religious science church. But she figured that out on her own. You can figure that out on your own, people. That's one of the main tenets of this teaching, which, by the way, a lot of people don't know. They have read Ernest Holmes Up One Side Down the Other. They attend metaphysical churches, but they still cannot control their mind. Until you're able to control your mind, your life is not yours. What is your life then? It's your mind's life. So whose life is it? Is it your life, or is it all those rumblings that are going on in your mind all the time? You have to control that. Cute story about Aunt Catherine and health and so forth. She hadn't gone to a doctor in 60 years. And I knew that she wasn't feeling well by talking to her on the telephone. I can always tell when somebody is not at their peak by the energy level of their voice. And I could tell her energy wasn't there in her voice. And I called her son. I said, he lives in Washington. She lived in Pennsylvania. I said, you better go up to your mother's and you better take her some to a doctor. So he did. And she had a urinary tract infection, which apparently older people get quite frequently. And the doctor said to her, well, how long has it been since you've seen a doctor? She said, oh, maybe 60 years ago. Mm-hmm. And he said to her, well, you must have very good genes. She looked at him and said, don't you think attitude has something to do with it? It's your attitude, people. So use that attitude to enjoy. Use that attitude. Tell yourself, I'm going to have an attitude of joy. I'm going to have an attitude of joy. I'm going to make this life what I want it to be, not what my mind wants it to be. Your mind is yours to use. You are not your mind. You are not your mind. Learn to think the right things. Learn to have joy. Learn to have magic. Learn to be that little child one more time when you thought everything was possible. When you were a child, you thought everything was possible. I'm here to tell you that that is still true. The world took it away from you. Now, give yourself the gift and give it back to yourself. And enjoy, enjoy, enjoy. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you.
Thank you.